costs to obey God in a fallen world. And whenever you obey God, you're out of sync with the world. And you pay a price for that on occasion.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
As I look at Psalm 119 in the second stanza, verses 9 to 16, as I look at Psalm 119, it seems to me that David gives to us a twofold glimpse into the excellence and power of God's Word. The first thing that David begins with there is a probing question. That kind of introduces the stanza. Do you notice it there? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a probing question. And then, following that probing question, that's where David begins. Then he leads on to a powerful solution or answer to that probing question. First, that solution is expressed by taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then it's expanded. We're taught how to take heed in the remaining verses of that stanza. So first there's a probing question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? As I look at that expression, I see three things. The first thing I see here is an earnest pursuit. Wherewithal? That is, in effect, a cry of anguish. How? Wherewithal? We need to be earnest in our pursuit of God. There's an earnest pursuit. There's also an early pursuit here. Wherewithal shall a young man? I think never was there a more important question for any man to ask than that. And never was there a fitter time to ask it than at the commencement of life. Wherewithal shall a young man be cleansed? And then thirdly, there's an essential pursuit here. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now that's an essential matter. How can I cleanse my way? By the way, the word way is a Hebrew idiom. For the whole of a man's life, inwardly and outwardly, all that he is and does, inwardly and outwardly. We've seen already that fallen man is not clean in any of those areas. From the inside out, fallen man is impure. That's where every one of you were and where I was before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We were, from the inside out, impure, beginning with our motivations, and then our attitudes, and then our thoughts, and then our words, and then our actions. In each circle of responsibility, the man is not clean. So David says it is absolutely and indispensably essential that he find a cleansing. The Hebrew verb, zakah, carries with it a moral connotation of purity or freedom from pollution. You see, in our world, there's more than one kind of cleansing. There's more than one kind of cathartic or catharsis, which would be the Greek equivalent of this Old Testament word. There's a physical cathartic, which is an agent used by a doctor to cleanse the physical system, often in anticipation of some form of test or surgery. And there's an emotional cathartic, a technique that is used by counselors to cleanse or rid a patient of hostilities and anger and bitterness and other destructive attitudes. And then supremely, and this is what David has in mind, supremely there is a spiritual cathartic, which is a divine work in which there is a cleansing of the inner man, a purifying of our hearts by faith, Acts 15 and verse 9. It's that deeper spiritual catharsis or cleansing, which is the essential one, the one without which we shall never be made fit to stand before God or stand in his presence. And it is that cleansing which David pursues. And in the ultimate sense, dispensationally speaking, in our day and age, in the ultimate sense, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the living Word of God, is the only one who can provide it through his written word, the Scriptures. So David begins with a probing question. He wants to demonstrate for us the potency of God's Word. And he begins with a probing question. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Then he gives us a powerful solution. And that's the last half of verse 9. He tells us right out, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now, what do you see there? Here are the two things I see. One, we have a remedy, thy word. And two, we have a responsibility. Take heed to God's word. A young man can be cleansed, which means that any person can be cleansed. And the remedy is God's word. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The remedy is God's word. The responsibility is take heed to it. Listen to it. Keep it. Obey it. Understand it. and fulfill its implications. The remedy is thy word. Jesus could say that God's word is a sanctifying and it is a cleansing agent. You remember in the New Testament document, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. And then he said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15 and verse 3. He meant to teach us by that the remedy to this impurity, which is natively a part of our fallenness, the remedy to that is the word of God. The Bible is not a faint echo from the distant past, smelling strongly of the mold of libraries. The Bible is not a kind of museum in which God's word is exhibited behind glass like a relic or a fossil, as though it were something dead. On the contrary, the Bible is a living book, a living word to a living people from a living God, a contemporary message for a contemporary world, an eternally relevant and powerful document. That's what the word of God teaches. God's word is fearfully charged with energy. It is the mightiest concentration of truth the world has ever known. It's like a hammer breaking up stony hearts, Jeremiah 23 and verse 29. It's like a fire consuming rubbish from your life and from mine, Jeremiah 23 again in verse 29. It's like a lamp lighting our path in the dark night, Psalm 119, 105. It's like a mirror showing us what we are and what we can be, James 1. Verses 22 to 25 is like a seed erupting, exploding in the rebirth of our spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. It's like milk nourishing the weak and inducing healthy growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It's like honey sweetening the inevitable hardships and the inevitable sorrows of life. Psalm 19 and verse 10. And it's like gold enriching immeasurably the one who realizes his spiritual bankruptcy and claims God's riches by faith, Psalm 19 in verse 10. David says the remedy is God's word. You want to be clean, you want to be cleansed, you want to be purged of the ugly tentacles of sin, you need to submit your life to the authority of the living word, Jesus Christ, and to the authority and authenticity and reliability and power of the written word in the pages of Scripture. Then he says, here's our responsibility. He says, by taking heed thereto, the remedy is thy word. The responsibility is by taking heed thereto. That's the powerful solution expressed by taking heed thereto. You see, without a map, a man is bound to get lost. Without a map, a man is bound to get lost. But even with the best and the most accurate map, a man will still get lost if he pays no attention to his map, if he gives no heed to it. Shamir, it means to honor. It means to keep or observe. It means to attend to. And it carries with it the ideas of exercising great care over something or exerting extreme discipline, that is, in our obedience to the principles of God's word. It involves a volitional as well as an intellectual element, that is, it involves our will as well as our mind. There is a doing as well as a knowing when it comes to heeding God's word. The Bible says, be you doers of God's word and not hearers or knowers only. James 1, in verse 22, Joshua, it seems to me, Joshua in the Bible is the patron saint of all who adhere to or heed God's word. You just read the book of Joshua, and you read the testimony about Joshua. He's the patron saint of all who adhere to or heed God's word. And at the end of his life, Joshua could call Israel to heed God's word in the same way that he had heeded it. I wonder if we could do that. If we were to evaluate our Christian experience up to this point, and let's say this were our last opportunity to make an appeal to God's people, I wonder if it would be possible for us, on the basis of our performance of obedience to God's word, to say, I want you to heed God's word in the same way that I have done. Now, when Joshua came to the end of his life, he could do that. And he did that in Joshua 23 in verse 6. And this is what he said, be ye therefore very courageous. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that is, the word of God as he knew it at that time. That was the content of revelation he possessed. He says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And when he said that, he said three things. Let me give them to you as I close. One, I want you to obey God's word courageously. Be ye therefore very courageous. He was saying the very same thing that David is saying in Psalm 119 and verse 9, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. One, I want you to obey God's word courageously. Be therefore very courageous. You know what courage is? Courage for the Christian is this. Courage is the virtue by which we walk according to God's word. Courage is the virtue by which we walk according to God's word. You see, in a fallen world, it takes courage to obey God's word. Obedience is doing what God says, when God says it, and with a right heart attitude. So Joshua says, I want you to walk courageously. I want you to obey God's word courageously. Cowardly men, cowardly women, cowardly young people. There is an abundance of them in the Christian realm today, in the Christian family today. Cowardly men, cowardly women, cowardly young people are those who are always seeking to worm their way out of the clear implications of the word of God. The word of God says we ought to do this, but they don't want to do it because it costs to obey God in a fallen world. And whenever you obey God, you're out of sync with the world. And you pay a price for that on occasion. So Joshua says, I want you to obey courageously. Then he says, secondly, I want you to obey comprehensively, to keep and to do all that is written. Not only courageously, Joshua 23:6, but also comprehensively, to keep, and that's our word, by the way, to heed, shamer, same Hebrew word. To keep and to do all that is written. And it means this, it is not for the Christian to pick or to choose from God's word that which he is willing to obey and that which he is not willing to obey. We're not to do that. It is for the Christian to listen attentively to the voice of God in Scripture. That's the first thing we need to do. Listen attentively to what God's saying in Scripture. And then to obey scrupulously and comprehensively all that he says to our heart, every bit of it. We don't pick and choose which parts of God's word we'll obey. There are no such things as essentials and non-essentials. We find out what God says and then we obey it. Joshua says, I want you to obey God's word courageously. I want you to obey God's word comprehensively. Finally, he says, I want you to obey it concentratedly. Turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. In other words, the Christian is not to be detained or sidetracked by any kind of fascination that might shift his attention away from God's word. The Christian is to have an unswerving loyalty to the authority, the accuracy, and the authenticity of the Bible, recognizing that the slightest deviation from the divinely prescribed course can be catastrophic in its results. So adherence to God's word is no less a responsibility of ours than it was of Joshua's or of David's. I wonder how many of us adhere to God's word. David begins with a probing question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he follows that up with a very powerful solution. How can I be clean in all areas of my life, from the inside out, in every circle of my anatomy? How can I be clean? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He says, we have a remedy. It's the word of God. And with respect to that word, we have a responsibility. We are to take heed to it. You and I are called in our day and in our generation to courageously, comprehensively, and concentratedly obey the Bible. I wonder if these are the words which describe our relationship to God and his word. Courageous, comprehensive, concentrated obedience to all of God's word. We have the map. Do we abide by it? Do we follow it?
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
In order to seek God with our whole heart, we must seek him diligently, and we must seek him humbly, and then we must seek him honestly.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.